This is written by Irene Barris Johnson, and she will introduce it for us.
So let's all of us come up here. So what you're about to see is a form that exists on one writes a play.
One writes a play, and it gets articulated many times before it becomes a real thing that you really see acted with somebody having memorized lines, right? So this is a form, and you have actors having read the script once, and then there is an audience, and it hears the script. And then the writer learns from this, supposedly, and takes it back and rewrites and does other things to make it better. So your job as the audience is to think of what you would like to hear more of, and to, if you wish, make criticisms. They are greatly appreciated. And so that's your job. And we have a job of reading. So we will. Okay.
So this is called Upstaging Little Women. And the synopsis is, it is July 1869 in Rivière du Loup. Invited to join a distant cousin's family journeying to their relative's vacation home in Quebec, author Louisa May Alcott and her artistic sister May join them for relaxed, adventurous days. The characters are Lou, Louisa May Alcott, and she is 34. She has completed the second section for her unexpectedly popular book, Little Women. She performs in amateur theatrical benefits, and she cares for her elderly parents in New England. And then there is May Alcott. Now, she is 26. She is the original illustrator of Little Women. She has taught kindergarten, the mentally challenged, and art students. She takes art lessons, and she looks forward to more. And then there is Ellen Frothingham. Now, she is 32, and this particular woman here is 30, so she's the Boston-born daughter of a Unitarian minister, traditional Unitarian minister, and she is the sister to a radical humanist scientific one named Octavia. She herself is an expert in German literature and a translator of German works into English. And then there is Bessie Rodney. And her real name is Elizabeth, of course. And she is all of 17. She is the daughter of a radical New York City minister, Octavia, and she is unofficially engaged. Scene one is called Playing Croquet. In 19th century summery hats and white dresses, Lou and May Alcott stroll together to join Bessie and Ellen Frothingham on a flat, grassy area. There is an outdoor table with a pitcher of lemonade. Four croquet mallets lean against the table. Okay.
Here's the book you loaned me, Miss Alcott. It was most enjoyable.
Bessie Frothingham, you must call me Lou. After all, we're distant cousins, and we'll be together on this vacation for 3 weeks.
I will, Lou.
Bessie, I worried that these stories were too young for you.
They were, but I still enjoyed reading about flowers and fairies.
Would you like to read some of my Blood and Thunder tales about handsome worldly men pursuing young women that are your age?
Oh, I'd rather read the second part of Little Women. I hear it's you just completed it.
I'll loan my manuscript to you in the day. I'll need it to read a chapter aloud each night to our vacationing companions for all to know how that story turns out, whether Joe marries Laurie. Even my sister May here doesn't know.
That's so. Ellen, you made the trip thrilling yesterday by taking us on a walk into Montreal as our baggage was being moved from the train station to the steamer that brought us here to Rivière du Loup.
It was like we were doing a pilgrimage when you pointed out that Charles Dickens and his wife Catherine must have trod upon these very streets more than a decade and a half ago.
It was good, Aunt Ellen. We took a lot in. The Rascal Hotel, where we stayed, the site of the Theatre Royal, where they performed, and barracks where soldiers practiced acting under Dickens.
Bessie, you're old enough to call me Ellen, as the best adults do.
I will, Ellen.
I like that Dickens insisted real women must play female roles instead of young soldiers.
I heartily agree. Now, this morning, we'll tackle the game of croquet.
Hand out mallets.
You'll have to tell me what to do. I've been so busy stitching up shirts and writing to earn money, I'm afraid I've missed out on learning how to do this, though I hear it's the latest craze from England.
For now, we'll just each take a mallet and hit a ball with its end. I'll start first to show you.
I see.
I'll be on your team, Lou, so it's May's turn.
With teaching and taking our lessons, I haven't had a chance to learn this game either.
Now I know.
I'm glad you're on my team, May.
You seem to have the idea of the game. Now we'll take a break and have the lemonade and cookies that Maid Francoise left for us. When we resume, I'll designate different colored balls for each side. If you manage to hit an opponent's ball on your turn, you can immediately go again and hit the ball twice more.
It's strange to be vacationing, to relax with nothing specific to do, not to be tired and mentally scurrying to think of what words or actions should come next, not to have a deadline to meet.
This will refresh us.
Pours from a pitcher.
I search for the right word to translate essays from German to English, but my deadlines don't seem as strict as yours, Lou.
My father's never made much money, Ellen, so I've been the family wage earner for a decade and a half. My mother's inheritance bought a home, but I've had to make enough money to keep us fed and to hire a maid to keep up my mother and father's routines in Concord while I write in Boston.
Never felt that kind of pressure. I've always been able to live in the parsonage that comes with my father's ministerial job or stay in the parsonage of my brother Octavius, now in New York City, which is how I know my niece Bessie so well. I could just dip into their libraries for information that I've needed. Finally, I earn enough money from translating that I have my own place.
When I was old enough, I joined my oldest sister Anna to earn our keep. We taught school where our uncle serves as a minister in Syracuse, New York, and we lived in his parsonage. It was difficult, but I found that art lessons helped pupils relax, sketch, and use color well. We showed pictures that the visitors liked.
I won't have to think about where to live when my parents finally allow me to get officially engaged. My fiancé will join his family's wool business, his parents will give us a house, and we'll live as we wish.
He's just out of school. Most girls still don't get taught read or write or figure numbers. If you get married so young, you'll never get to know in what areas of life you excel.
I know enough. I read all the time. I even like Charles Darwin's new book, The Origin of Species, after Father read it. I work fast on a new sewing machine, It only takes 6 hours to make a shirt now instead of 40 it took when I did it by hand. I go to the kitchen to learn to prepare food from cook. I play piano at church and family gatherings and will do so here.
I'm glad that my sister Anna has fallen in love and married. I'm happy holding a baby nephew. In the next few years, I hope to find a kind man to love and marry. But right now, I look forward to learning more about drawing and painting, since illustrating my sister's book, Little Women, was so difficult.
I'm old enough.
Bessie, you're only 17.
But I'm in love. And my friends are marrying. I don't want to be an old maid.
You're way too young to be seen as an old maid or to even worry about that. Women in my family get married when they're in their late 20s.
Well, I'm unmarried. I like my life. No man has to approve of what I do with my own time.
Scene 2, on the veranda. Both hatless, Ellen embroiders in a rocking chair and Lou knits in a plain wooden chair with a trunk in between them. Behind, two thin canes lean against the house.
I'm glad you agreed to come on vacation with my family. We don't come to Rivière du Loup every year, but when we do, it's a chance to see our Montreal relatives.
I didn't know our family was so wide-ranging. I found out there's a whole bunch of us in Lower Canada.
They seem to be comfortably well off, too. Just the size of this house is rather grand. It's a summer mansion, really, rather than a simple cottage, and they certainly have enough servants.
It is a treat to wake up and have tea and slightly sweet crackers served to me by maid while I'm still in bed. I write letters to Marmee and my editors. Then, so leisurely, I get dressed and come down for a late breakfast with everyone at 10.
You're growing up. Yours don't seem to have been so comfortable.
My earliest memories are the nicest. My father was running a school in Boston. There were busts of famous philosophers in a large, sunny room. It was an unusual school in that it had both boys and girls, and my father disliked corporal punishment. Every student had their own desk, but we also had discussions in a semicircle where we were supposed to express our own opinions.
Sounds advanced, even for today.
It was, but it didn't last long. When a teacher published an account of this, some newspapers were very critical and made it seem like a scandal. Students were withdrawn by worried parents, so my father never received a teacher's salary again.
Then what happened?
My father did odd jobs when he could find work. We seem to have moved almost every year.
How unfortunate for a family of girls.
It didn't seem so at the time. I didn't think. All of our neighbors have lived here for ages. I've read my mother's journals showing that she was depressed at times. But Marmee made us children think we were just on a new adventure. Each time we moved, she'd take us for a walk to see all the places we'd enjoy nearby for free. She was the one who taught me to love nature and find it inspiring.
So what were some of your adventures?
Sometimes we went looking for berries. When we first moved to Concord, Henry David Thoreau took us for walks. He told us all sorts of things we didn't know about nature, walking along with Emerson's children. And Thoreau listened carefully to what we had observed.
I like reading his books. There's so much detail in them. Did you have enough to eat?
My father grew up on a farm, so he often planted a stretch of land for us. But sometimes that wasn't possible or didn't produce enough.
Sounds like you starved.
We were delighted when my mother's brother, Uncle Sam, would send us a barrel of potatoes or apples. I remember days we had just bread and water on that utopian farm, Fruitlands.
So your book, Little Women, is a toned-down version of things that really happened to you.
Very toned down.
Did you have enough to wear?
Through my mother, we're related to very good families in Boston. At least a couple of times a year, a box would arrive with some reach-me-downs. Marmee's an excellent seamstress, so she made us new gowns out of others' discards.
Sounds like you had a very creative upbringing.
It was that. If some of the clothes were too tawdry, flimsy, or fancy, I'd use them for plays I wrote for my sisters to present to our family on holidays or to neighbors like the Hawthorns and the Emersons. We had lots of fun with Dolly Hancock's outdated shoes from the trunk in Grandfather's attic.
A What kind of plays did you write?
Expansions of bits from history or ghost stories. I've played disdainful queens, but I like pants parts best. Oh, to be a hovering, unworldly ghost, a ghastly mustached villain, or a grandly booted, marauding bandit. In plays full of battles, I'd fight with a sword, like this.
Lou grabs a cane and throws it to Ellen. Holding the other cane, she launches into a clashing sword fight, which is responded to in kind. After some sword play, she ends and throws herself down on the chest, breathing hard. Ellen also lands on the chest.
Well, you certainly were rigorous.
I was called rambunctious. When we lived in Walpole, New Hampshire one summer, Reverend Henry Whitney Bellows of New York had my sisters and I act in a summer theater group. He found us plays that were funny. Then I founded an acting group in the Concord Unitarian Church.
In Boston, I saw Charlotte Cushman play Romeo to her sister's Juliet. When the girl's long curls were kissed in the love scene, I was so affected.
After I saw her play Hamlet, I wanted to become a professional actress, but I knew that my parents would be shocked and Mr. Emerson would be scandalized.
So it's probably good that you didn't act on that dream.
But they didn't seem to mind it when I put on theatrical benefits for good causes.
You found a way to make the unacceptable match their idealistic needs.
I'm more than half persuaded that I'm a man's soul put by some freak of nature into a woman's body.
Women, even girls, are so confined, expected to be way too quiet and much too sedate.
It's so funny that I'm suddenly popular because I've written about girls. It's boys that I admire. They are interesting, go places, lead fascinating lives.
Yeah, girls must watch the fence as their brothers go off to good schools. Women are just expected to marry.
My publisher insisted that I marry off my Little Women. I myself have not fallen in love with any man, though I've been appreciative of some of their attentions and help.
Still, in your writing, you were very direct. You took seriously the real hurts and struggles that girls feel as they grow up in a way that's not been done before. Your book wasn't preachy.
I used to go to receptions a Unitarian minister, Mr. Parker, held at his house on Sunday nights, and see the men and women who were engaged in abolition speeches and protest as their mission to improve our society.
Since my brother's a minister, he was very jealous that I lived in Boston and heard Reverend Parker's prayers to Father, Mother, God on Sunday mornings and experienced his sermons.
So you were there too. He was sympathetic to women who had to work and even tried to find me a position once.
So you got to know him well as a minister.
He was very helpful. For a while, I became sad and hopeless because I couldn't find dependable work. Amazingly, he noticed that I was too quiet.
It's good to have someone you trust to talk with, to feel understood when it seems you're all alone and life seems impossible.
Speaking with him was encouraging. He blew on my cinder, helped me to spark forth again, saved me from suicide. For I was going to a bridge and looking down at the water, tempted to end it all. He helped me find my way.
I'm glad that you're still here, and I love your writing. Too bad that Reverend Parker died so young, 9 years ago.
I was just 27. Oh, Ellen, I wish I'd known you back then and we'd become friends.
Scene 4, Here and There. In their hats and white outfits, Lou, May, Ellen, and Betsy sit around the outdoor table, covered by a lace tablecloth, and set for tea with little sandwiches.
Tea and snacks every day at 4 o'clock. How civilized and comforting.
Then we can change into evening formal wear, and by 7, we're ready for dinner.
Afterwards, it's been lovely to watch the sunset from the veranda and then see fireflies in the north. Lou, what do you and May scheme at late every morning down by the beach? You're so secretive.
We've practiced being Dickens's comical nurses, Mrs. Sarah Gamp and Mrs. Betsy Prigg, as our act for the last night's entertainment. I hope you'll find them laughable.
Since Lou doesn't usually do this scene with me at her charity events, she's adapted it. But today, I brought my sketches for you to see. See, in Montreal, I show the busyness of the many ships at the quay, the neck-stretching tall monument of Admiral Nelson, and the grandeur of the Catholic Cathedral.
You even show the nuns in their simple habits.
People in a landscape show scale, the size of the building compared to the figures.
What have you drawn here in Rivière du Loup? Most afternoons have gone in a horse-drawn caleche to see the sights.
See the waterfalls cascading with this rising mist? And here, all the churches nearby.
I like these portrayals of the Malisie family we saw selling strawberries and crabs. Mother's friend, Lydia Maria Child, once lived near a tribe. When I was little, her stories impressed me with how hard they work. Your sketches show that.
The mother and Poops the sweet. There's intensity in your sketch of the men paddling a birch bark canoe to spearfish.
I'll be proud to take a little birch bark canoe as a souvenir from here, back to my nephew.
I like your sketches, May. They seem so real.
I hope to become even better soon. With the new wealth from Little Women, Lou's planning to take me to Italy, France, and England soon, so I can study and copy famous paintings in the galleries. I'll also take lessons from artists so that my work improves and is respected.
When I get back from Europe, I'll be one of those strange ones who tries to interest women in getting the right to vote.
Getting the vote for women is the campaign needed in our time.
I haven't changed my mind about wanting to marry soon, but I see why my parents invited all of you to join us on vacation. You've shown me that women need to keep learning and changing, since that makes everything feel worthwhile.